All right, Gary, what are we doing this week?
Well, Cole, welcome to my brand new sandwich shop.
Oh, yay. What's your specialty? You toasting them? You grilling them? You oven baking them?
We do all three.
Oh, all at the same time?
Home of the crunchy bread.
Basically a big old crouton.
Our big innovation, we're all familiar with what is possibly the most famous sandwich, the BLT.
Yes.
Right? It's got three letters. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, what if we made a sandwich that had the entire alphabet in it?
Ooh, do an alphabet sandwich. This isn't going to be like a cheat where you just put a bunch of alphabets or, alphabet pasta in here? No, you're not going to do that?
Alphabet soup?
Yeah, alphabet soup. Yeah.
Aiming for right there?
Yeah.
This is a BLT, bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
Okay.
This sandwich has an ingredient for every letter of the alphabet.
Okay. Well, let's start with A and then go all the way through here.
Yeah. I was just going to have you shuffle the sandwich like a dad would and pick one, but we can go through.
No. I've got too much to say about this game.
I don't blink. Okay. Like, I'm trained in the guppy minds. Like, I will guess and anything.
Yeah. All right.
Most of them are endangered animals.
Oh, yes. I would just say A for albacore. Or abalone, rather. Sorry,
alpaca.
Ooh. Just furry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very furry. Yeah, just the skin.
Just a sweater of meats.
It's a textural safari.
Cosmic gumbo. All right, so let me just grab both sides of this bad boy. It's real wet.
Most of the ingredients are animals. So...
Okay. Yeah, I hope we get a little bit of fiber in here. All right, let's
okay. You guys are wettest shuffle sound.
I'll see if I can pull up something on Freesound. I always do like the verbatim search for what I'm looking for, just in case. Mm-hmm. It never happens.
Yeah,
so if I put in wet shuffle, it'll be like, hey Cole, how's it going?
That's the last episode.
The wet shuffle.
The wet shuffle.
We just recorded an episode about Montezuma's Revenge for the premium feed.
The video game, not the video game.
No.
I'm going to spread the sandwich out and I'd like you to draw one of the letters with your eyes closed.
Okay.
And that'll help us to pick a game.
Okay.
With the A to Z sandwich.
Okay. All right. So here we go. What do I got?
Oh, looks like you got the T.
Oh.
That's an odd little coincidence here.
Weird. Oh,
this does have a BLT in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why would you mess with success? So just tomato.
Why would you add 23 more elements to a success?
Yeah.
No, just the tomato. Game computer.
Oh, there's a tomato game. Killer Tomatoes. What? Oh, yeah, Princess Tomato and Salad Kingdom.
Nope.
What?
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
What?
Yeah.
Is that what? Oh, shit.
Yeah. Did you read Princess Tomato when you read the words Attack of the Killer Tomatoes on the calendar?
I did.
Oh, how did they? You know, they're spelled and pronounced very differently.
Cool. They are. Oh, my God. I wasn't paying close enough attention. Gary, we need to record this tomorrow.
No, we can do we can do that, or we could do a book report episode.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Let's just roll with it.
Yeah, let's just roll with it. Okay. This has only happened once before.
Got to keep on pace because there's stuff to say about both these things.
There is.
You're lucky that I'm very familiar with Princess Tomato and do not need to revisit it.
Yes. Yeah. No. I was just I was joking when I said Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. They never would have made a game out of that.
They did, and a cartoon series.
Huh.
And it has a character named Beefsteak in it, so that's why I picked this for my vanity pick. I am going to say this is not counted as my vanity pick.
No.
I get a bonus one.
You
yeah, because yes. you didn't play it.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It's my bad. I own it. I saw tomatoes, man. And I
went very excited.
I looked at it yesterday. I said, tomatoes. There we go. I know one game that has tomato.
But there's two.
Yeah, there are.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross. This is Punished Cole Ross.
Punished Cole Ross. And welcome to Outdoor Suffering, where today's reading is 3.6 Röntgen. Not great, not terrible.
Yeah. This episode, we're talking about Attack of the Killer Tomatoes with a bonus addendum about Princess Tomato, which is not a bad game.
That's a great game.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually really obnoxious. They do a bunch of fake flags.
Right.
Like, as an adventure game, it does a bunch of, like, when you open this door, it makes this character have this thing in their inventory.
Right.
You know? Which is the biggest sin that an adventure game can do.
Yes.
But it's full of charm, and it contains the Saladron. Did you ever play it long enough to get up to the Saladron?
I did not. I got to some cucumbers who were guarding a door. Yep. could not get past them. I ran out of water to revive my buddies. But of course I got Percy. Of course.
Yeah. That scene where all the vegetables are starving, like they need water, they're all gonna die.
Yep.
Let me just throw a little image here in the Slack,
Cole, okay,
of the Saladron.
Okay.
The only reason why I did it, haven't picked Princess Tomato, is because I would have been sure that we've done it already.
No, we haven't.
So there's the Saladron.
That is
that great?
That is the most MS Paint-ass drawing I've ever seen on the NES.
I challenge you to find the salad elements of this guy. I get that his hands are kind of like a salad tossing fork and spoon.
Yeah.
And his head kind of has some salad elements to it.
It does, yeah. No, it's got a little bit of, what is it, lettuce? What, cabbage head. Yeah, that's from the kids in the hall. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So that is, it's a salad drawn. So is he like an enemy that you have to like get past?
He stalks you in a maze.
Ooh.
Like you have to get to the end, like he tries to find you and you have to eventually get to the end where you have to deal with him. But yes. It's during the long like chapter 4 maze section of this.
Yeah. No, that's I never played it before. So I was pretty excited to like sit down and take a look at it.
I think there's a Let's Play
I did
of it.
Yeah.
On my old Let's Play channel. Because like I like Princess Tomato. I rented this a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just so it's so unusual, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's got that claymation cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know? However, I did not play Attack of the Killer Tomatoes
as
a kid. I just knew there was a cartoon, and then when I saw there was a video game based on it, I looked at it. And then when I looked at it, I found out I was looking at the cast of characters.
Okay.
This is stuff that we could always, you know, work on.
Oh yeah, do a roster run. Yeah.
And the characters in this are incredible, including Tamacho, voiced by Cam Clark.
Of course. Cam Clark, what won't you say yes to?
Yeah, we got our crew here. Our regular crew is Tamacho,
mm-hmm,
Beefsteak, Fang. I don't really get that one.
No.
Fang rules over Africa and is known for his snake-like personality. Fang has serpent eyes, a snake's tongue, and large fangs full of venom. Now, keep in mind they're describing a tomato.
Okay.
Fang had the biggest problem with his continent due to soldiers not returning from the quote-unquote heart of Africa. Fang temporarily took control of the Gang of Six in the last episode, returned control over to Zoltan after his defeat.
That is too much lore.
a lot of lore.
It is
too much lore. They all own a continent, dude. Like, so, I'm not joking. In the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes fiction, the evil doctor assigned a continent to all of his tomatoes. Like, Ketchuk, voiced by Maurice LaMarche, rules over Asia. all of it.
And Asia, famously known for their ketchup?
Mamedo, who's voiced by Rob Paulsen, rules over Australia and New Zealand, and he's a mummy. That is a tomato.
Oh, this is it's a deformed
tomato believed to be the missing link between normal dormant tomatoes and the killer variety. I've never described a tomato as dormant before, but it makes a lot of sense.
That is fucking menacing. Is what it is.
Like, right?
Oh God, that cannot which can eternal lie. Wow.
do not eat up anything you cannot put down. There's also the main character of this fucking cartoon. His girlfriend is a failed experiment. She's a woman who turns into a tomato whenever she gets salt on her. I'm not joking.
What's this turbo teen shit? Come on.
Yeah, what is this? Like, who is masturbating to the salted tomato woman? Many people.
I mean, that was somebody's, like, the TF fetish awakening, I'm sure.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, and so pepper is what cures her. She turns into a tomato when you put salt on her. Even on pepper, she sneezes. Oh. She's also shown to have telepathic and telekinetic tomato powers.
So she's like Aquaman, but for nightshade fruit.
Yeah. Aquaman, but for tomatoes.
Yes. Yeah. Huh. No, Tara Bomday.
It's got to be a pun, but I don't know what it is.
A failed experiment. Yeah. So this is the second of your picks, of your vanity picks, where you have brought a 90s television show that is based on like a widely discredited B movie, as intentional as Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is.
Yeah, I had never, the thing that I was thinking about before Princess Tomato was entered into the mix was when I found out there's a video game about this, in addition to looking up and seeing the cast, I was thinking about how I've never seen Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
No?
But it was one of the first movies I saw that was like an intentional like B-movie.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of thing, or knew about as a kid. And it was just like, I was just, oh, when did that concept get introduced to me? Like, I started thinking about that, and I think this might have been the first time.
Might have been, yeah. This was just something that we joked about. Like this was, kind of talked about and, like, shown at parties at the same time as, like, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like, that kind of deal.
We were a Killer Clowns household. Like, I saw Killer Clowns.
Right. It was about Killer Clowns.
The trailer...
It can't be denied.
Not dormant clowns. The trailer for Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is legitimately pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, it starts off with a reporter like interviewing a woman who lost her husband to the tomatoes, and he starts going on about how she should remarry because she's no spring chicken in the reporter voice. And it's mean, but it's pretty funny. And he's just like, sure, you're gonna find another man, right? She's like just crying about like literal tomatoes coming to life and crushing her husband.
Tick tock, tick tock.
Yeah. It's like pretty funny for like an 80s. You know,
yeah,
trailer thing.
Oh god. I just love how it opens. I forgot that it opens with just like, oh, when Alfred Hitchcock first showed the birds, audience laughed at the idea of birds revolting against humanity. But when attack perpetrated by birds occurred in 1975, no one laughed.
Yep. And then once the tomatoes come,
yeah,
you know, it's very funny. A lot of the trailer is like tanks versus tomatoes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is real good, because I don't think a tomato is doing a good job there, you know?
No, very much outmatched is the thing.
Yeah. Tank is about as tough as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. No. And so this game, this is Imagineering, so it looks like it plays very much like Bart versus the space aliens. Kind of that same deal. Like it's a little prettier than those, but it looks very awkward to me to play.
Yeah, it's like the Ghostbusters 2 Simpsons games. Simpsons like Game Boy games.
It's in that corridor. Yeah.
All trash. I think the game actually looks kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
There's weird 3D effects. Like it starts with your little character having like tomatoes thrown from the perspective of the viewer.
Yeah, doing like a Battletoads thing. Distance. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a good looking game.
Yeah.
You know? Not, you know, fun to play.
I was gonna say, does it play well? Like,
nope.
I have an excuse. I didn't play this. I'm just looking at the YouTube so I can say, oh, this looks kind of neat. You played it, so is it as awkward as it looks?
Yeah, it just feels real awkward to play.
Yeah,
lots of sewer levels.
Yeah.
Even like very early on, like I spent a lot of time in the sewer looking for beefsteak.
down at the bowling alley trolling for BS.
Yep. And going down to the VFW looking for beefsteak, if you know what I mean.
Actually, I don't. What the fuck are you talking about?
We're down at the shore cruising for beefsteak.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find myself a...
I'm watching a video of this kid just slip sliding along brown liquid in the sewers.
Yeah, you do a lot of shit smearing, like, in this thing. It could be rotten tomato juice.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, in a way.
The benefit of the doubt.
No, it's just raspberry jam, son.
Why is that coming? Should I stab Todd? Like, no, stab Kitty.
Oh, man. Did you watch this show? I had no idea that they made a television show out of this.
I watched it. Yeah, it came on when I was young, and I watched it a couple times. You know, I didn't watch it religiously. I didn't watch it as much as Toxic Crusaders, mm-hmm. but I did watch it from time to time, and it was kind of funny.
Yeah,
like I remember that it being a little bit funny.
Yeah, as a star-studded cast as far as VO actors goes.
Well, it has this like interesting plot, like or how it came about. Because Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, they planned, you know, to have no sequels for it. But then there was a sequence in Muppet Babies where Baby Fozzie has to deal with Attack of the Silly Tomatoes.
Okay.
And it was so popular that the makers of Muppet Babies approached the makers of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes to say, like, hey, we got some Muppet Babies heat. You should make a sequel. Here's $2 million.
Holy shit.
and then they did it. And then because of that, like, that did well. And then that spun off into this whole franchise.
Huh.
You know? Isn't that weird?
That,
like, $2 million of straight-up Muppet, like, Baby Fozzie money is the reason why we have this TV show and video game?
Just coming down on you like a bunch of bricks. You just got filed just that sweet, sweet Fozzie cash.
God, yeah. I love Fozzie Cash, dude.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the main thing I remembered from when I was a kid watching it, and then I went and looked up online, was that they had a little mascot. And learning about him, this is FT. He's short for Fuzzy Tomato.
Okay.
And the evil doctor was trying to make a sentient tomato and made one with hair, and it escaped with Tara Bombday, the were-tomato lady.
Okay.
And became a dog. Like, it turns itself into a World's Ugliest Dog contest because it's actually a furry tomato. It's fucking disgusting.
Oh,
like, everything about this is foul.
A furry tomato sounds like somebody describing it, but just a very unhealthy scrotum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or like just a moldy tomato.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh,
no, thanks.
No, no. I threw away some moldy strawberries, and those are always the grossest thing in the entire world.
Really disgusting.
Yeah. I'm ashamed that I let them get that bad.
John Astin is the voice of the villain of this.
From Love Boat.
Yeah. We're all also Adam's family.
Oh, yeah.
The main thing I know John Astin from.
Am I?
What? Original Gomez.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yes. Yeah, no, it's absolutely so weird just when you get like, oh, we're going to have Don Adams voice Inspector Gadget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, let's just get all these all like during the day, you're going to watch cartoons voiced by these people past their prime. And at night, you're going to see them in their prime. We're Nickelodeon. You're going to see them. Welcome.
Do family stuff with a real minor twist. You know,
bite your tongue. The Adams family is good.
No, his family's fine. I think the movies are really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, those hold up surprisingly well. Like, the first one is very funny.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. Fang reacts to Macho when you stomp on him. Beware of the Fang. But he seems to be invincible. Do not press a button during the final credits. Because this game has a fake credits. And if you don't press a button, you get to the final stage.
Oh! So it's a patience test.
Yeah.
That's
very strange.
That is very meta. I really appreciate that as a conceit. Yeah.
It's very similar to like the X-Men Genesis games.
Yeah, I was gonna
weird like reset the computer.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah. The worst part about Princess Tomato, other than that maze, is when you're just in the town dealing with the garlic bum. Like, you can fuck yourself out of things by spending coins at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give, I want to say that it will fuck you up if you give money to the homeless piece of garlic.
Oh, well, that'll teach you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like real weird.
Yeah. I also just love the idea, like, oh, you found a baby on the road, it's dying, now it's yours.
That's your little like annoying sidekick that you can punch every once in a while.
And before, you know, he's the first thing that you find, but like before you pick him up, there's just a button on your screen that says Percy, and you press it. Like, who in the world could Percy be?
I will buy a Tesla the second they put in a Percy button, and this little persimmon pops up and gives me advice on how to fight garlics.
Yeah, gives me advice on how to escape my on fire for 4 days car when there's no manual unlock on the doors. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, sorry, I'm stuck in here in this hot coffin.
Yeah,
hot coffin.
Oh god. Yeah. I'm sorry. You haven't paid for OnStar. We can turn on the Sirius XM Raw Dog Comedy Channel for you.
Yeah. Would you like to hear what Carlos Mencia thinks of your rapidly carbonating corpse?
It's carbonating. Yeah, you crash a Tesla, you get real bubbly.
Yeah. I was thinking, what is the word for turning to carbon? It's not carbonating. That's what I was
saying. Carbonizing?
Carbonizing.
Yeah, could get carbonized. Yeah. And you got graphited. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was really all just characters named Beefsteak and they all controlled a continent. That's like really all I had to bring in this. So
who's Antarctica? Who controls Antarctica in this world?
Well, there's actually only six of them. So I think none of them.
Okay.
Do that. There is Phantomato, who is a Phantom of the Opera tomato.
Okay.
Who hides in the sewers, but does not get a continent.
Oh,
and
no.
Ultimato, which is the usurper one that tried to take over.
Is that a play on Ultimatum?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really don't envy, like, okay, so Fozzie comes by, he writes a blank check. He says, waka waka, yeah. You know, waka,
here's $2 million.
I'm going to make you a star. 2 second
segment where Fozzie fought off tomatoes.
Kids love ratings. It. Yeah, can't get enough of it. And so, like, all right, so you get there and like, hell yeah. And then you just mm-hmm. you sit around a table and you realize, oh, do you know how many tomato puns we're going to have to come up with? Like,
mm-hmm.
The Herculean task of keeping that even like relatively fresh. I mean, like even just like kids show fresh, which is not, you know, not fresh at all. But like, just I don't know if I could do it.
It'd be very difficult. It's that's why you end up with things like Fang, which I don't think is a type of tomato.
Yeah.
You know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Rules. Oh, yeah. I don't. I or like get ketchup. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Ketchup. I kind of get it.
Yeah. Tomacho. I can see that. No. Just a real monkey's paw kind of thing.
Yeah. They had a real hard time with it. The series went over a bunch of different changes, including the final change came in the form of taking the comedy relief from Zoltan in the game and doing away with it in favor of serious threats.
Oh no.
So near the end of the series, when we get to episodes like Ultimato 3, the third time the Ultimato shows up,
yeah.
we're purely serious at this point. Like they are scary.
Uh-huh.
They are terrifying. There's no comic relief. Of Tomacho, the surfer dude tomato.
Yeah.
Who talks like John Travolta and is voiced by Cam Clark.
Of course. That's the most Cam Clark thing I ever heard. Yeah. No. So they pulled a reboot. They rebooted the series. They pulled literally the CG show reboot, which started as a kids goof show and then turned into like a sci-fi drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. If I was consulting for them, I would say, hey, tomato show, maybe don't start taking yourself seriously.
It feels like a real gamble.
It does.
You know?
Yeah.
There's one joke in the movie that's in the trailer from somebody named Tomato Guy.
Okay.
Who in the movie trailer, he shouts out tomatoes in a library and makes everybody run away.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh no, tomatoes. Apparently, he's in the cartoon in every episode shouting tomato. So.
Okay, so we got 5 seconds always accounted for.
Yeah. Finally, scratch that off the list. Yeah. Maurice LaMarche, we got him saying tomato once, and we'll just loop it.
Oh gosh, that's how they screw you. Only paid me to say meep once and they doubled it in post.
Don't you mean meep meep? what vegetable do you think is scariest?
I don't know. Anything else like a pod? Is a thing?
A pomegranate or like a pea pod?
Pea pods are fine. I mean, so pomegranates are upsetting, but also they're fruits, you know? tamarind. I think tamarind is pretty upsetting. Pretty upsetting looking. Yeah.
It's not quite a vegetable, but I just think how ginger root is pretty scary.
Ginger root is pretty scary. It definitely looks like it is an out of control growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't eat it.
No, no.
Yeah. But it's so delicious.
I mean, you gotta shave it is the thing. Yeah. Just a little bit off the side. No, I bought a bunch of ginger root back when I was making my own ginger beer. It's really surprising how far that goes.
Yeah. 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 I made homemade ginger ale once with ginger root and like made ginger syrup.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's quite powerful.
Yeah. How about you? What's your most upsetting vegetable?
If not ginger root, because I think that's pretty scary. I think eggplants are a little creepy. Not from the outside where they look uncanny, but kind of perfect.
Yeah.
But opening them up like that, the weird flesh on the inside.
And
the spongy like texture, like you push your finger into it and like water seeps to the surface.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pretty foul vegetable.
No. That is pretty rough. I like eggplant. Also like something that colorful and like I understand that the varietal we you know, that's not how they look in nature, right? They're not that purple. But to have it be that bland, you have to do so fucking much to eggplant to make it taste like anything at all is the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just, like biting into a water balloon. You know.
Oh, you know what? I said tamarind. That's not what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of rambutans. You ever seen a rambutan?
Rambutan. Maybe. Let me look it up. Oh, those little urchin guys.
Yeah, little urchin guys. I mean,
yeah,
like
lychee.
Yeah, in a like in sci-fi, like that, like that. That is that would like nothing screams this is poison to me more than what a rambutan looks like. Which is just like
this is alive. Like this is definitely going to move. Try not to be eaten.
It looks like if you put googly eyes on that, it would just be a fry guy from the McDonald's commercials.
It's very cute, but that's not what I'm looking for in my foods.
No, no. I love the taste of kiwi, but I do not like preparing them. You know, because it's especially furry. If I'm getting I prefer nectarines to peaches, right? Same fruit, but
yeah,
not it doesn't have the fuzz on the outside, right?
Yeah, it's clean shaven fruit.
Yeah,
you're looking for a clean shaven fruit.
You ever seen a? I literally just searched for scary vegetables. You ever seen a Buddha's hand?
Ooh, I will soon.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just send you the link here. I'm unaware of this. My
search for scary vegetables brought me entirely to VeggieTales. Oh no, I accidentally searched scary VeggieTales. Why are they so? There's so many of these.
Yeah. Oh God. Finger limes. The pulp of finger limes looks like tiny little balls. It's like lime caviar. Oh, that's really upsetting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very similar to like a pomegranate.
Yeah.
Kind of thing as well.
Those little pods. Don't care for it.
Pomegranate feels like a food that they would invent because humans were eating too fast. Like challenge dishes for dogs.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a little food puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it seems like to me.
The
Buddha's hand is no good, man.
No, no.
No good. That's waxy.
It looks malignant. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's real no good.
You ever seen people post like pictures of like, oh, I left the house. You know, I went away for like 2 months, but I forgot that I had like sweet potatoes in my cabinet, and then just like and here's the picture of like the big purple leaves growing up through the seams in the counter.
No,
I've seen a couple of times. We're just like, yeah, no, you see, you forgot this, and all of a sudden yams are sprouting. life finds a way.
Things growing is kind of gross.
Yeah, I wish they just stop it.
Everything does it.
Yeah, I kind of understand your Dr. Dooms and your whatnots. Stop it all. Yeah.
What if all vegetables were basically like came in an egg? Like you had a white normal and you cracked it open and there was just an egg shape of whatever that vegetable matter was.
I mean, you're basically describing those weird little food cubes that we talked about.
It is very similar to food cubes, which I will say, like, were not scary.
No, it was actually kind of cute. Yeah. No, yeah. I'd be down with it, but like, I don't know. Yeah. You got to be able to cook them up nice. What I have found is that I was done a real disservice by Midwestern cuisine when it comes to vegetables.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah.
Like, that's why kids don't like vegetables.
Yeah.
And your taste buds literally change, but also, like, you know, just a can of mixed vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, cooked in a pot, like, fucking yuck.
No, your taste buds change, but, you know, if you are sensitive to textures, having everything boiled to fucking oblivion, you know, not going to be the best. Hey, I don't recognize this. What is this, this woman in the tub?
Just someone drowning in, like, scary vegetable bath.
Yeah, Brussels sprouts, kind of. Brussels sprouts, like, growing on the stalk, those look pretty upsetting to me.
Those are very upsetting.
I mean, just it's the most alien plant pod looking thing. Although Brussels sprouts probably right now my favorite vegetable.
They're very good if well prepared.
Yeah. Well, you know the story behind that, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I tell me what it is and I'll tell you.
Brussels sprouts actually did used to suck. The varietal that they sold was especially bitter and farty. But like over the course of like sometime in the past, like 20 years, they just bred better Brussels sprouts that tasted sweeter and roasted up better. So a combination of that and like restaurants doing a better job at, oh God, sorry, you just sent me a very upsetting picture.
Is that good?
Yeah, no, the better variety plus people understanding that you roast these things in olive oil and salt and pepper, mm-hmm. or do a little bit of bacon grease in there. It's good. Do like a vinaigrette drizzle over it. Just like the, like that is why they turned out being some of the best things. Hey Gary, what the fuck is this Azathoth looking vegetable that you just sent me?
This is the fruit of the Halaaka Pohola tree.
What?
It's the fruit of the Halaaka Pohola tree.
Halaaka Pohola tree. Halaaka Pohola tree. Oof. Pandanus tectorius. No.
Although, it's really hard to see how big it is in this picture, but it seems like it's as big as two human heads.
Well, that's what it takes. It needs to harvest the nutrients out of. It needs to sap the nutrients from two human heads.
If you swallow a rambutan, this is what your head turns into. And then you just peel off these little stalks.
Yeah, that's why you need to go to a doctor. Oh, this is like a native Hawaiian mm-hmm. looking kind of thing.
So just about.
That actually looks like it would be kind of tasty.
Like it's got really appealing colors. Like it looks like a pleasant flavor of Starburst to me.
It does. It also looks like the warning sign for visible radioactive material.
yeah. It's great. Like I love scary plants. You know, there's a lot of terror on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah,
there's a lot of terror in the animal, the flora and fauna kingdoms as well.
Yeah, yeah, and that's even
if you have a fun imagination, you can get scared by lots of stuff.
I mean, it's a little bit like everybody's related to royalty as long as you have a loose enough definition of royalty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I assure you, there are people who are scared of scared of broccoli. You know, it's like little trees. You know,
you get a Romanesco.
Well,
you get one of those like fractal broccolis. Ooh. Those are terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of it's good. It's all great, but it's also scary as heck.
Of course. Yeah.
I got to find an exotic fruit market to go to.
Yeah.
I want to eat one of these things. I want to find one of these that's like Aki, where it's like the fugu fish of fruit. You know, like the most of it is incredibly poisonous.
Oh, yeah. 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 Because that's what you want to do is gamble with poison.
Danger. Yeah. I'm looking for some danger vegetable. Yeah. You know?
Can I get something in deadly poison, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't, if Attack of the Killer Tomatoes happened in real life, I'd be okay because I very rarely keep tomatoes around because mm-hmm. then they're kind of gross. Prepared into like a sauce.
I am really happy that you say that as well. I have never been a fan of tomato, especially fresh. you know, I prefer it in sauce. I do not like a slice of tomato on a sandwich. It gets real slimy.
It's a lot of water.
Yeah.
You know, and not a lot of, like, sometimes I can do like an avocado toast with like a very thin slice of like an heirloom tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a caprese salad with the ratios very far in the way of like mozzarella and basil.
Yeah.
You know? I'm always kind of just like choking down the tomato part.
Well, and also it is generally the most flavorful part of a thing. So like, yes. And also like a cherry tomato in a salad. I like that. Ugh, like that's
just the big exploding, like water balloon nightmare in your mouth.
But like, you know, you can control it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The tomato is always the most flavorful, you know, one of the more flavorful things in a dish. And what I find if you go to a restaurant, like they just go way overboard on it. Like if it's in a salad or if it's on a sandwich, it's like, no, like what I want is the taste of the tomato having been there. You know?
Yes, the like, memory of a tomato.
Yeah. I don't like banana peppers, right? But the taste of a banana pepper having been there is fine. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you need, Cole, is like a Gulliver's Travel-esque thing. We're going to tie you down on your back, and then we're going to get a bunch of non-dormant vegetables and just have them march across your mouth. So you always have the taste of something having been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like a 2x2, just imagine them like crawling across your tongue while you're strapped down to a bed by Lilliputians.
Yeah. No, I think that's a perfect solution. I think that if we can perfect that technology, we can just make it. We can actually sell this. You know, make that a service.
Yeah. You know, just roll banana peppers across your tongue.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like a cop taking your fingerprints. You know, but on your tongue and with a banana pepper.
But a banana pepper overpowers. You know.
Yeah. They're rough. It's always really, like when I used to eat Papa John's pizza back in when I was didn't understand that there were better pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give you a bunch of banana peppers with your pizza, and it's like, what do I do with this?
Do the peppercini? Yeah,
yeah. I'm supposed to take a big bite out of this while I eat pizza.
Yeah, we had at the college radio station. We had weekly meetings for all of the volunteers and DJs and stuff. And we had for the first few years that I was there, we did Papa John's pizza because we had like a sponsorship deal with them or whatever. And those pizzas would come in and the first things to go, there was always somebody who went up and got like three of the garlic cups, like the garlic butter cups. And just like, they would practically drink the fucking things. It was like,
take it to the bathroom,
take it to the bathroom, hide my sin from God. And then just like, they just open all the boxes and get those pepperoncinis out there, buddy. And it's like, you guys are monsters. What are you doing?
Super weird. Yeah. That garlic sauce, speaking of taste buds changing, was like the most delicious thing in the world to me as, you know, when I was eating, when I was like 20. And then now, like, you know, I was at some kind of function where they had Papa John's pizza. Like, I didn't willingly eat Papa John's, but it just showed up and had some of it. And I was like, this is fucking foul.
It is.
Like, this does not taste like real anything ever went into it.
Well, no, it is pure liquid soy as a thing. Not that I have like a problem with soy, but like it's kind of like Country Time lemonade. I assure you, nothing close to a lemon has ever been near this.
Butter or garlic has never been near this stuff.
No. So like it tastes like salt that smells bad. Plus it leaves your mouth feeling like you just threw back a little shooter of Vaseline.
Real gross.
Yeah,
and for some reason the most delicious thing in the world.
Yeah, because of salt.
Yeah, and salt's great.
Yeah,
love salt.
That's the thing. Salt and cooked onions. That's the way you make any food taste good.
My mom used to eat salt on apples. She would like take slices of apples and sprinkle salt on and eat them.
I could see that. I think that she might have been a little bit ahead of her time when it comes to using salt and sugar together to get a savory. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. She also, like, all her taste buds were dead from a lifetime of smoking.
Also, yeah, so I could see that. So maybe she was just trying to feel. I mean, that's the thing that happens with old people. I'm not calling your mom old, but just like in general, your taste buds, just like kids taste more bitter stuff when they're young. And then it mellows out. Like older people, like most of their taste buds, stop working. And mm-hmm. like really the things that kind of stick out are sweet. Like it's one of the only things yep. that they can really experience. So like, that's why go to a retirement home. It's nothing but ice cream and Jell-O and stuff. It's not like they, you know, it's just a bunch of people who like, no, that's what they, you know, like, yeah, they're, you know, can't take care of themselves, whatever. yeah, it's yeah. like, yeah, it's like, no, it's like they're eating what they can taste. You know, even yeah. if they didn't like sweets before. So like, and also they're better, like they're, also they're 80. So maybe let them eat whatever the fuck they want.
Well, that's what I always thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm 80. I'm going to do like, it's going to be all ice cream. Like every dinner is a death row dinner.
yeah.
You know, once I get to a certain age.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, well, I mean, nursing homes are generally hotbeds of STDs as well.
Yeah. Cause like, why not, man?
Yeah. Just roll you know? With it.
Yeah, just roll with it. It's I always wonder whether like this is incredibly juvenile.
Okay.
But the
welcome to Abject Suffering.
As you get older, you know, the idea that like, you know, old people are constantly giving each other STDs, sucking okay. each other off, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Does what you find attractive change as you get older? So like, one thing that is true is that I find women roughly my age more attractive. Mm-hmm. than I do women who I found attractive when I was younger.
Yeah.
Right. Like my body, when I see like a 29-year-old, mm-hmm. my body's like, oh, that's a baby.
Okay.
You know, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that just continues. So like, as I get older, there's something going on where like, I'd be in the nursing home and be like, this is fucking a snack shack. I'm full of ice cream and pussy. Like, this is great. And I want all of it.
Oh, you know? But what I want most of all is to go home, please.
The main thing I want to do is to no longer live.
Yeah.
But if not that, then it's got to be a nonstop parade of ice cream and pussy and Jell-O.
Right. You know?
And meds, like sleeping meds, like all my favorite things.
Oh, my God. They don't fucking care about the opiates. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does it change? Like, when you're old, would you still like prefer like a younger woman, or do you actually like, I appreciate this older woman body shape now?
I mean,
you know,
I don't know how much of what you prefer is dictated by the options that you have, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like,
it's really hard to say,
you know, just that there could be just like food. There could be any number of things that I love that I don't say like, hey, I'm a main guy of this thing because I've never had it around, you know?
Yeah.
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 I couldn't say, I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. They always had like in the Simpsons, every once in a while, grandpa gets horny.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, he has the tonic. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even without the tonic, like just seeing Marge's mom, he's like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I look at Marge's mom and I'm like, hey, give me Marge mm-hmm. or nothing. You know, give me Luann Van Houten, homegrown Simpson stuff. Like, that's what I want. I don't want Marge's mom though.
Oh yeah. Oof. I can't hear you because of that jacuzzi suit. Yeah.
Man, she just fills out that jacuzzi
suit. She's just poured into that jacuzzi suit.
Yeah. You know, but like as a virile middle-aged man, I'm like, oh man, Dr. Hibbert's wife. You know, I'm not like, hell yeah, Mrs. Bouvier.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, did something happen to grandpa?
I don't know. I think that there's a certain amount of your options to find your preferences, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about how that stuff changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I'm just, you know, I'm more terrified of getting old than dying. So it's also something I try not to think about too much.
Yeah. It's not all ice cream and pussy.
No.
And sleep meds.
No, it's watching everybody you love die and slowly losing yourself to a fog of years. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Them dying or you forgetting them, even worse.
Oh yeah. No.
You know, like, yeah, it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's no good.
No, no. I'm fucking bummed out. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. No, that's Attack of the Killer Tomatoes for you and Princess Salad.
Yeah, yeah. I genuinely apologize. I apologize for assuming based on looking at that. The next
if we're doing Abject Suffering and I'm giving you shit, I'm not serious about it. Okay. Welcome to Abject Suffering. Like, I'm not an
author. Okay. Well, I apologize to the listener as well. But I don't know. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes looks interesting.
Yeah, and they got to learn about every tomato controlling a continent.
Yes.
Which I think is fun.
No. So call your representatives and make sure that you appease the great tomato.
In their community, are heirloom tomatoes like vampires or mummies?
Vampires. I think they're like antediluvian. Or, I mean, yeah. No, it'd probably be shittier. Like, heirloom tomatoes might just be like, you know, anybody who says, I can trace my lineage back to the Mayflower, you know?
Gotcha.
Like, you know,
like, yeah, or somebody who bought a plot of Scottish land.
Yeah, yeah.
For, you know, $100 and is technically a lord.
Yeah, yeah. I think that there's a, if they're that concerned with status, I think that is a that is a sign to stay away. Would be my reckon on that.
Heirloom tomatoes are fucking full of themselves. You know,
I'm just tired of them walking around like they own the fucking place.
Yeah, but like eating a tomato that thinks it's better than me.
Mm.
We should do a preemptive war on the tomatoes,
yeah,
instead of waiting for them to attack.
Oh no! Yeah, just
Pearl Harbor them.
Yep. Sorry. Oh, I was about to say pearl tomato. No, that's not a thing. A grape tomato. No, yeah, I'm off. I'm in the weeds.
Yeah, I still remember when the second tomato fell.
Oh, God.
Thanks me.
Yeah,
and thanks you.
Thanks
everybody listening.
Thanks you. Thanks everybody listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to think. If you would like to help support us, you can go to patreon.com/chuckfeedtv and give us I think it's $5 a month, gets you 2 extra episodes of the show per month. At 10 you get access to upwards of 125 of them now, something like that. It's a huge,
you get a lot of stuff.
It's a huge value, if we do say so ourselves. We're gonna be putting up a milestone goal for me to pay fucking attention to the calendar. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, check out our other shows.
Yeah, please do. Check out Everything to Guppy. Check out The Level.
Check out Everything to Guppy. It's mean. The Level. Less mean. You know?
Presumably. We give David the business.
Yeah, David gets a little business. None of the people in Level would survive one day in the Guppy mines.
Imagine, like, Ben, just Ben guest starring.
Yeah, like, I just, like, Dennis Furia, like Dennis just very sincerely responding to all of these, you know, absolutely brutal insults posed as questions. You know, just like,
just, hey Dennis, oh no, just, you gotta know, you gotta be prepared for the strike when you hear the hey name.
Yeah,
it's like, just warning.
Yeah, I've got to learn, like Will Hughes does not have a rattle like a snake does, but there is a tone of his voice that you can recognize.
Mm-hmm. No, but you don't want to brace too hard, because that just means you're gonna get hurt even worse.
More ammo.
Yeah, just there's a certain amount of, you know, there's a certain amount of just going limp that needs to happen in the Guppy mines.
Very much so.
Yeah.
What should they do until next time, Cole?
Well, Gary, next time they should read the fucking calendar.